You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
702 and Cape Talk. Entrepreneur Corner.
And we're going to introduce you to another young South African entrepreneur. We seem to be doing very well at bringing you people to do amazing things and some good news narrative the country can do with this, hey? And today we have Jerry Shabangu, who runs a business with a very naughty title, Cock and Shoot. I don't know what that was all about. Jerry, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me, CBS.
You're looking the part. You are in a part of the industry where you have to be popping bottles all the time. I don't know why you say you are nervous. What are you nervous about? Just breathe in. Fantastic.
There we go. Yeah, I've never been on radio before.
Really?
Yeah, so that's the only reason I'm feeling a bit nervous. And then I'm normally not dressed like this. I'm normally in just jeans and a t-shirt, but I figured
since you're dressed up
on radio, yeah, till I remembered nobody's watching us.
You do know no one's watching us, right? But I can I can confirm that Jerry has got a face for TV. I'll take a picture of him. Don't worry.
There
he goes. Hey, Dana, he does. Okay, so I want to talk about your business first, and then we're going to talk a little bit about who Jerry is and where it all started. Yes, I'm always deeply fascinated by entrepreneurs. I think you guys do amazing things, especially in an economy where there's so many people who have a monopoly on certain parts of their sector, and you come in and you want to disrupt as a young upstart with a startup. Cock and Shoot specializes in what?
Cock and Shoot specializes in mobile bars. So we supply mobile bars to event organizers, to private clients, to corporates, anybody that basically needs a bar at an event.
And in a country where we love to party, does that mean there's a lot of business? Because at the same time, I think to myself, my goodness, we're now in a recession. I would have thought, I don't know whether we spend more on alcohol when we are depressed about no longer having jobs, or whether in the entertainment sector, as it were, your kind of business is particularly challenged when there's a downside to the economy.
I think it kind of helps that what we do is sort of it's a getaway for people. It's where people want to relax and forget all their problems. So no matter how many problems are out there, you know, you'll always still find people at events. You'll always still find people wanting to celebrate something, and then we come in the picture.
Why did you think that there is a niche in the market for your business? After all, if I want to get drunk, I can go to my favorite bar in Melville. And if I wanted a mobile service for my company as a little small and yana party at the end of the year, there are already many of them in the market.
Of course, of course. So the initial thinking behind Cock and Shoot was that we were going to offer cocktails at events, because myself and business partner attend a lot of events, and we never used to find cocktails. So we'd go to events with our wives, and there was never an offering of cocktails. They'd be your beers, ciders, and normal things. So the initial idea was that we're going to be selling cocktails at these things. So we're going to be offering something that's not available there. And that's what we did in the beginning, but eventually it sort of grew, and we found ourselves doing less of the cocktail work and more of the big work.
Okay, so the cocks refer to cocktails.
Cocktails and shooters.
And shooters.
Yes, sir.
Did you bring us him?
Yes, sir.
And he's got water here in the studio.
Apparently, there's no alcohol allowed in here.
Lies, damn lies, and more lies they tell you, Jerry, but that's your story and you're going to stick to it. So what does your business look like operationally? Do you like have a truck waiting to be dispatched? Like, what is the physical stuff that you have? Like, just talk me through the setup of your business.
Operationally, it's a mess, Eusebius. We, from when we get a call to get appointed to be at an event, you must remember our industry.
Dude, I just got to pause there. You are the first entrepreneur who's come on here and told me that your business is a mess.
I'm not gonna get on here and lie. People need to know the challenges, and maybe today's the day I get through to my clients to stop giving us last minute requests.
Sure.
But I mean, what happens in this industry is that a lot of it is very last minute. Some of them are very organized, and you gotta sort of just hit the ground running from when we get a call and we get appointed to run a bar on a Saturday, for example. There's so many things to be done, so many things to plan around, and there's a lot of physical work that's involved. You know, I don't shy away from the physical work myself either. We have to make sure there's tills available. We need to communicate with our banks to make sure we get speed points to process card transactions. We need to make sure We are chatting to our suppliers to get enough liquor. We have to make sure that we've got enough ice. We need to make sure we've got glassware, ice buckets. There's so much to happen, and most of the time, such little time to pull it off. But we always get it done.
Okay, that's interesting. So I'm curious, how much of that stuff do you now own? How much is this Cock and Shoot? Quickly get it. If I say to you, okay, on the 20th of June, I want to have a big bash and a big sender for Reedy Clubby going to America. Well, you now suddenly go, oh gosh, actually, all the things I've promised you, CBS, I don't have. And now I'm going to have to go into my supply chain to kind of like rent out this stuff and then appear. Or how much of that stuff do you own as part of your business?
Yeah, about a year and a half ago, not a lot of it. And we, you know, we'd always used to struggle. But I mean, in this current state right now, we own about 80% of our equipment. We own our own bars. We source some out if we've got a very busy weekend. We own all our glassware. We own half the tills we use most of the time, and we've got access to a company that rents us the rest. We don't own any liquor. We've got a supplier that supplies us with liquor, so we don't really sell. Like, we sell liquor at events, but we're not a liquor supplier, if that makes any sense.
Totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Totally makes sense. From a cost point of view, if I come to you, how expensive are you? Because startups have the disadvantage of not having scale on your side, which bigger companies do. And so what, are you going to charge me more money and then pretend that you're going to use all that marketing gimmicks like bespoke services and what have you? So from a pricing point of view, how price competitive is your business?
It's funny you should mention the word bespoke. My business partner and I were chatting about it about 2 months ago. We had no idea what it means. And all these new companies popping up have bespoke in front of it. I wanted to actually put it in the beginning of our company, bespoke bar services. But anyways, you see, we were priced fairly, but we're definitely not cheaper than the bigger guys. You know, I believe in my service. I believe in the work that we put in. So we will charge, you know, more or less what the industry sort of needs us to charge. We don't charge cheaper. We've had clients that have asked us to be cheaper because we're a smaller business, and we just don't do it because I do believe in the work we do. I believe that we're on par with the best out there, if not better than them.
From an experience point of view, what will I get that will be the evidence of that, besides you being quite ballsy about it?
So, I mean, the experience between the two of us is about 4 years' experience, which is...
What I mean is the event itself, right? So let's say I get you guys for my event, right?
Yes.
So now you are saying I'm on a par with the best. I don't care if you're on the par. Hopefully one day you're going to tell me you're better than the rest. But even if you're on a par with the best, what am I experiencing when you and your team comes on site? What will... Because people are listening to you. There's some corporates already planning end-of-year functions.
Sir.
Convince them experientially what they will get when you guys come onto the lawns and you do your thing.
It's passion. It really is passion. It's young guys and girls. That's the majority of our staff. And every single person has been screened and trained, you know, and they're all passionate in what they do. What we do is not easy. We work most of the time until the early hours, 3, 4 a.m. in the morning. And I mean, that's when we sort of stop serving. From there, we have to pack up. And to have a team that's out there every single weekend working until those early hours and giving it 100%, it just has to be passion, you know. It has to be passion, and that's what sets us apart, and that's the experience you'll have as a customer.
Okay, yeah. 17 minutes after 11, Entrepreneur Corner. You can hear the passion in our entrepreneur we're featuring this week, Jerry Shabangu from Cock and Shoot. If you are ready for your next big party in corporate in particular, maybe he is the man to bring his passion and his staff, who are all very young, to make sure that you have a memorable experience.
702 and Cape Talk, Entrepreneur Corner.
20 minutes after 11, and I'm speaking to the managing director of Cock and Shoot, which specializes in full end-to-end mobile bar management services. And Jerry Shabangu is still with us. I want to talk a little bit about where your entrepreneurial journey started, Jerry, and just take us back a little bit. You were born and raised in Mamelodi.
Yes.
And obviously you went to Glen High School and then went to what? Did you go to business school or was there a different pathway into becoming an entrepreneur? Many people are scared with the risk that comes with taking a chance on yourself. What are your roots?
Yeah, so like you said, born and bred in Mamelodi in Pretoria. I went to Glen Stensha Primary School and then from there went to the Glen High School and then from there went to a CTI to study business. I've always sort of known, you know, that's what I wanted to do is to become someone in business. I just never knew doing what. But I studied business and I was, luckily for me, supported by my mom and dad. I think all they really cared about is
Not entirely, right? Because your mom at first were like, "Eh, what is this thing of wanting to turn a young turnip into a business?"
So when I said I want to go study business and get a degree, they were like, "Yay, go ahead." You know, that's what all the parents want. But when I left my then job to start Cock and Shoot, my mom was like, "What? We were taking some cocktail, and you know, I could." And she's very, very supportive, but I could just see there was a little bit of doubt, and I don't blame her. It's very hard for the elders to understand what it is we do.
Except one part of that was beautiful because your mom wasn't opposed to you being an entrepreneur.
Not at all.
Sometimes our parents just want us to go and work for a big famous company. Yeah. It was rather the nature of the business that had her like little bit rolling her eyes.
Not at all. Yeah, that's, I think, sure. Myself, younger brother and sister were very, very privileged. My parents supported whatever it is we wanted to do, as long as we wanted to do something. You know, and we just, you know, up until this day, I keep getting support from her. She's actually our preferred ice supplier today. She supplies Cock and Shoot with ice. So it worked out for her too.
But why was your mom so surprised? I mean, they were running a liquor store themselves. Right. So you had both the power of liquor as well as entrepreneurship. You had it role modeled for you.
Yeah, I did. I think it was the cocktail thing that threw her off.
That's fascinating. So what she drew, yes. She draws the distinction between a court and a cocktail.
Exactly. Yeah. So she was just thinking, oh man, you're going to take what we used to sell, mix it in a glass and then sell it to people. You know, I think that got to her a bit. But I mean, today she understands what we do. She's been to one of our events just to check us out in action and then leave because she's never really comfortable.
Okay. Yeah. That's so stunning. I just love the fact that you have that relationship with mom. It sounds like she's one of your BFFs.
Correct.
That is beautiful. Tabatso, hello.
Hi, you serious?
Yes, okay. The line's not very great, but let's see whether we can hear you. Go ahead, sir.
No problem. We've used Jerry before. We have an event in Atrazil called Cooler Boxing Day.
Mm.
And he did our bars.
Oh, and what was it like?
Brilliant, Jerry. Jerry is brilliant. I worry about everything at the event except the bar.
So you can testify that the team really does what he says.
He really does. He's really clean. There are no issues. We don't fight about money. We don't fight about stock. And his staff is also very courteous to the patrons that come to the event.
Yeah.
You know, so it's an all-around service, and
thank you so much.
I'd recommend them any day.
Beautiful stuff. Jerry, how many people do you employ?
Eusebius, there's 3 permanent people, and there's plus minus 75 ad hoc staff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And what's your turnover? What level blesser status do you have?
So yesterday when I was answering the questions, I actually got it wrong. Our accountant mailed me this morning. So the tax year ending April 2017, we turned over just above 2 million.
Obviously, you've made it in life when you have an accountant. My accountant mailed me. So this is a proper business.
Trying to stay out of trouble, yes.
No, that's great. You should, yeah. The Republic of Gupta needs you to pay those taxes. It's very important. I'm glad that you are above board. But there is an interesting part of the answer to your mom's worry. It's not just that you had seen cocktails in jail. Actually, there's also a cute little part of the journey where part of the idea came from a friend of yours who had a fascination with collecting books about cocktails.
That friend is my business partner. His name is Andries Kubi Makhato, and he had a book collection on cocktails. Like, it was just fascinating. You know, some books were about how to make cocktails and some were on the history of cocktails. And I was just visiting him to play FIFA. And Scooby is a man's man. You know, he drinks beer. He loves football. He's that guy. The last thing you'd expect is for him to show any interest in pink drinks. Mm. He couldn't even explain the interest to me, but he just said he is fascinated by these things. I think about 2 weeks later, we were making cocktails for some of our butch friends. They enjoyed them. And then not long after that, we were at markets making and selling cocktails.
How do you go about getting your business out there? How do you market yourself?
Anything and everything, you see. I think in this day and age, we're lucky enough to have social media. So I think that'll be number one. You know, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, we're there. We've got our website, and I also cold call and I cold email, if that's a word.
Absolutely, and that's very important. So you got to put in the graft.
Correct. People are not going to go out there looking for you. You got to look for them, and that's what I believe in. So till this morning before I came here, I was actually cold emailing for the Durban July.
I've always been very fascinated. Well, you've partly answered the question there that I was about to ask you, is how seasonal your business is. Do you make most of your annual revenue, I don't know, over the summer? Is winter a horrible period? I once put that question, by the way, to one of the owners in Melville at Six Cocktail Bar.
Yes.
And I was fascinated. I don't know if it's still true, but the owner, I remember distinctly because the answer surprised me, said that actually they make more cash during the winter months. It just felt so counterintuitive. How consistent are your revenue streams throughout the year, or are they cyclical or seasonal in any way?
We definitely make more money in the summer, but in the winter, the business does not drop, which was very surprising. That was the biggest worry when we started out, was what's going to happen in winter. So we went through our very first winter. And I mean, by the time we got out of winter, all our bills were still paid and the business was still running. So I'm very, very happy about that.
Jerry, I have a morbid fascination with failure, and I don't like the word failure. Yeah. I think it's just all part of a complex, chaotic, interesting life. Often we get profiled when we have accountants and 2 million rand turnovers. We don't get profiled when our first experiments go wrong. What have been some of your experiences before this one where you realize, ah, no, this is just not going to work as a business, because you learn lessons before you stumble upon success?
Correct. Yeah. So Cock and Shoot is definitely not my first business at all. I've had a failed business, which I started when I was a student with a couple of friends. And, you know, it didn't fail from the word go. We started doing work. We had invoices out there. We got paid, and just somewhere along the line, it fell apart. And it can be discouraging. And I think the trick there is just to keep on going. I've heard a lot of people say entrepreneurs are crazy, because you will watch something fall apart and fail, and then you'll get up and you'll sort of do it again, which is what I kept doing.
Okay, let's take a quick call. Squeeze it in. Tippy, so hello.
Hi, ECBs, and hi to Jerry.
Hello.
I have a question. Your business is very interesting, and I've experienced not necessarily your company, but a company that does similar to what you do.
Yes.
I have a question now. When you were talking, I thought about something that, is it possible within your business model to say, you know, in black families, we have weddings and unveilings and things like that, and we buy a lot of alcohol.
Yes.
And then the alcohol ends up disappearing, not knowing.
Oh, my goodness.
So, tell me, Jerry, maybe it's a challenge to you.
No,
are
it's
you,
true.
Are you able to give me a service and saying, I call you and say, Jerry, I've got X amount of alcohol.
Yes.
Can you then come with your guys?
Tipisa, you've just asked the most brilliant question. Also a painful memory. I just thinking back of the 50th birthday party of my cousin last year in Ekhini. It just disappeared while we were all doing speeches. Someone was going inside the house and grabbing it. So how total is your service, or can you prevent one part of it? I just want you to keep guard over the alcohol while we're doing speeches.
Correct. Thanks so much for the call and the question. That is part of our service, and it is part of what we do. We ensure, you know, I mean, 80% of the time, the alcohol, the stock is our stock. So it is part of our job to make sure that it's safe, it's guarded, and we only open what we're going to use. And we sort of now know how to manage it and how we, I mean, within our bar, we create a little storage space of stock that we put aside that's not going to be used yet. And then we sort of distribute the stock that's going to be open and the stock that's going to be used. So it's all controlled, and you basically just need to trust us with all the liquor. If anything goes missing, we will pay you.
Brilliant, brilliant stuff. How can people get hold of you if they are ready for a young turn up or a big one?
So our website is www.cockandshoot.co.za. They can also find us on Twitter at Cock and Shoot. They can find us on Facebook, Cock and Shoot. They can find us on Instagram, Cock and Shoot.
Cock and Shoot everywhere. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. What an absolutely wonderful entrepreneurial journey.